During the course of the Simanim on Leil Rosh Hashanah, a number of shailas arise involving the Hilchos Brachos questions and Hilchos Suda questions. So firstly, does one say bracha on the Simanim? Do you say bracha of Ha'et on the Simanim? So the Taz Paskins in Simen Tov Kuf Pei Gimel Sifkat and Beis that one in fact does say a bracha because it's not considered part of the meal. Whenever you have fruit, something that's not part of the meal, something that's not going to satiate you, it's considered something different, something separate, and it does require a separate bracha. Even though one said Hamotzi and you have a fruit afterwards, the apple afterwards, you still say Ha'et. There is a shaila, there's a discussion in the poskim, which one is ikr, which one's tafel. We always know when there's ikr and tafel, you say the bracha on the ikr and not on the tafel. The bracha on the ikr covers the tafel. So when it comes to the apple and the honey, which one is ikr? So on one hand, you might think that the apple is the ikr, that's really the main food, and the honey is simply a dip. But at the same time, you might suggest that since Rosh Hashanah, the whole idea is to have a Shana Masuka, sweet year, although an apple is sweeter, honey is perhaps even sweeter, and most of us probably enjoy the apple, rather the honey even more, maybe the Dvash should really be the ikr. And in Panemius, there's a lot of reason to the connection of Dvash to Rosh Hashanah, so maybe the Dvash should really be ikr. But in the end of the day, the Bogdan Ram Paskins that the apple is the ikr, and one says ha'etz, and that covers the Dvash as well. The Shuas Yaakov, he writes that really ideally one should have challah with the apple and honey all together. All at the same time, you should eat apple, challah, and honey. And this way you avoid the entire shaila, because since you're having the bread with the fruit and with the honey, that bread is going to completely overwhelm and cover all the food. In other words, if a person has a suda, and he says hamotzi, so we normally say ha'et on the fruit, but if a person eats the fruit with the bread as a sandwich, so then even in that case, you would not say a separate ha'et on the apple. So in order to avoid the entire shaila, he suggests that you should have bread with apple and honey all at the same time. In fact, he goes so far to say that he thought this was the minhag for many generations, and people who didn't understand the initial reason for this, it evolved into two different practices. One practice of dipping challah into the honey, and then another practice of dipping apple into the honey. But he says there is no basis for dipping challah into the honey. It was really supposed to be challah, apple, and honey. The challah's relevance was only there to try to avoid the shaila of ikr and tafel. That's the Shmuel Yaakov's understanding. Halach l'mais, in the end of the day, Mishnah Berurah paskens like the Magen Avraham that one says a separate bracha on ha'etz on the apple, and that covers the honey. And he adds, some have also a additional practice, which I think is practiced by many nowadays, to dip the challah in the honey as well. We'll get to it in the end. So in the postgame, if you're dipping in the challah and honey, what about salt? Do you also dip it in the salt? We'll get to that at the end. Now, what about an adama? Some of the simanim we have require an adama. There's a gourd, there's carrots. Do you say an adama on these items? So, Mikrei Kodesh and Yamin Naraim, Simon Zayin, Os Aleph, Rav Tzvi Pesach, Chreng Paskin, that one does not say bracha on vegetables ever, because the vegetables, carrots and gourds and potatoes, all these things are part of the meal and supposed to satiate you. That's included in the bracha of Hamotzi. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Paskin, and Halicha Shlomo, that one would say an adama on something like a gourd. A gourd is something that's not typically eaten during the meal. So it's not that every adama, every vegetable is part of the meal. Depends. Some vegetables are part of the meal, in which case they are covered by the initial hamotzi, but other vegetables, such as the gourd, is not a typical food that's going to satiate you, in which case one would say a bracha adama. It's no different than having at the end of the meal certain fruits that acquire hadama, whether it be bananas or craisins or different types of melons and watermelon. These are not part of the meal, and one would say an adama. So it's not an adama always covers it. So therefore, he says certain things like the gourd does require an adama. The Pisket Chuvas therefore suggests that maybe a person to get around the problem is take an item such as a banana, or what I like to do is a craisin, or a strawberry, and say an adama on that in the beginning of the meal. That everybody agrees does require its own adama. And have in mind on the gourd and all the other, and the carrots, all the other shailas of hadama as well. What about a bracha achrona? So the bracha achrona is going to be covered in the Birkas HaMazon. But this is only true if you are having the simanim after you've already washed and said hamotzi. There is a practice that some say kiddush and then have the simanim before the hamotzi. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that's completely fine to do that. That's not considered a heftek. That's considered part of the kiddush, part of Leil Seder of Rosh Hashanah. But the problem of Shlomo Zalman said is, does one recite a bracha achrona afterwards? In other words, you say Kiddush, and then you have an apple, and you have the gourd, and the carrot, and the pomegranate, and the dates. Now after all of this, if you have a kezias, are you supposed to say a bracha achrona, or is that going to be included in the hamotzi and birkas hamazon coming afterwards? So because of that suffix, Shlomo Zalman didn't want to eat his simanim before hamotzi, he waited till after hamotzi. The Piskei Tshuvos does say one's allowed to, if they have such a practice, to say and have the simanim before hamotzi, but he lays down the following approach. Make, if you have less than a kezias, so then there's no question, in this way you avoid the entire situation, there is no bracha achrona to be said. And if you do have more than a kezias, so he says, if you plan on having more of that item, you plan on having more carrots over the course of the meal, so there's no need for bracha achrona on that item. But let's say you don't have plan on having any more of those simanim during the course of the meal, so then that stage is over and one would require a bracha achrona afterwards. There's a big shaila that comes up, or Shlomo Zalman discusses, and the Kaf HaChaim as well, the order of the brachas. We know there's kedima and brachas, that the shivas aminim come first. So it's a big pella that the first one listed in the machzor and the sidurim is apple. And most homes probably say the bracha on apple first. But how could that be the case? The rimon and the tamar are shivas aminim, they're supposed to come, you're supposed to say bracha on those items prior to the apple. So Kaf HaChaim says that the reason why we say bracha on apple first, it must be where only the apple is on the table initially, so you say the bracha on the apple. And the other Shivas Aminim are still in the kitchen, let's say. But Eina Chanami, if the Shivas Aminim, the Rimon and Tamar, are out on the table, so Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes in Alicha Shlomo, Os Yid Zayin, so a person should first say bracha on the Tamar. If there is no Tamar, there are no dates, and a person should say the bracha on the Rimon. If there is no Rimon, so then a person is allowed to say the bracha on the apple. Piskei Tshuvos writes, based al pisod, there's a big inyan of tapuach and the connection to Rosh Hashanah and Klal Yisrael and Asav and Nishma. Take a look there for the discussion there. But there is a big inyan al pisod that the apple should be the first one. How could the apple override the Shivas Haminim? So there's a discussion in the Gemara and the Poskim whether Shivas Haminim or that which is Chaviv, which comes first. Some Poskim say if it's more Chaviv, that could override the Shivas Haminim. Others say, this is how we Paskin, that Shivas Haminim are always going to override that which is more Chaviv. So Piskei Tshuvos says, since it's a machlokis in general, even though we don't pass in this way, when it comes to Le'er Rosh Hashanah, one can rely on the Taz and say the bracha on the apple because it's more chaviv, assuming it is more chaviv to you, maybe it's more chaviv because a pisod it should come first, that chaviv, chavivus, should be able to override the Shivas Aminim. In the end of the day, even the Piskei Tshuvos, he agrees that ideally if one wants to say apple, the bracha on the apple first, better to leave the Shivas Aminim outside the room first, say the bracha on the ha'etz, on the apple, and bring all the other minim in afterwards. Now, Shulchan Aruch Rab points out, if once a person says ha'etz on the apple in the beginning of the meal, he should make sure not to say another ha'etz if he has fruit at the end of the meal for dessert. Typically, we say ha'etz on dessert at the end, but he already said ha'etz in the beginning of the apple, so make sure not to say a new one at the end. Other shilas that come up, I'm not going to get into, but some have a custom of having the honeycombs, the actual combs of honey that you squeeze out the honey from. There's an issa deraisa of dash. One has to be very, very careful how to deal with that. Extract the honey before Yom Tif to get rid of, avoid all situations. So let's finish off with honey versus salt. So there's a big custom, which many have, to have dipped the challah in honey from Rosh Hashanah until usually Shmi Atzeres or so. So what do you do about the salt? So Rav Zonnefeld, what he would do is put part one side of honey, the other side he'd put salt on and eat the challah that way. Others would first dip the challah in salt, take a bite, then they would dip it in honey, then take a bite. What Rosh Shlomo Zalman did, among many other gedolim, was they would only dip the challah in honey, but they would leave the salt on the table. They wouldn't dip the challah in the salt, but they leave it on the table. And there's a base in the Tosfos in Brachos that says the salt on the table wards off all of the mazikin, just simply being on the table. So you have it on the table, protecting from all the various mazikin, but you're dipping the challah in the honey as another Indian of having a shana mesuka. Everyone should have a wonderful day.